Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I am your host, Ryan, and with me today I have a very special guest, a returning guest host, Adrian, from, you know, I do this every time, the Arcade Attack podcast. Did I get it right?
Perfect, Ryan. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you're one of my favorite Brits. How's that feel?
I feel honored, actually, and like I told you before, I stumbled across your Rocky podcast a few years ago, and I've been an avid listener since, and I've jumped on the Rambo bandwagon as well. I really enjoyed the first film, and you very kindly had me last film, so back in this one, I feel very privileged. Thank you.
Yeah, like I said before, when I did season one, I think I said to a couple of the guest hosts, with season one, like, oh, I'll get you back on for season two, because at the time, especially at the beginning of season one, I thought I had more episodes. And a couple of the complaints I've been having with this show, good complaints, these are good problems. I've had a couple of people say, you're going too fast. I'm like, there's not a lot to talk about. Like, and I knew this would be a problem. Like with the Ramble podcast. So again, if you're watching or listening to this Ramble show and you're a Sly fan, you're not listening to my One More Round podcast, I invite you to listen to that. We do the same type of thing with my co-host, Katie and Kyle. We dissect the Rocky movies. And we watch a scene and we talk about it. But as you can imagine, Adrian, the Rocky movies have a little bit more substance and
dialogue. Yeah,
dialogue. You could dissect a lot of people's actions, and like we just started season two, Rocky II, this week. And of course, you know, just like the hospital scene, just the interaction, you know, between Rocky and Apollo, and there's a lot of things happening, things to talk about. Yeah. But I admit, as much as Ramble's fun to talk about, or to watch, I should say, and to talk about, you don't really get to say, yeah, and he blew that guy's brains out, and look, now he's blowing that guy up. There's not a lot of like meat sort of meat to cover. So we are going through it a little bit quicker than I won't say kind of hoped or anticipated, but we're nearing the end of the film now, and I got an email from someone saying, yeah, you're going too fast, but he's just saying he's enjoying it, and I get that. So that being said, I guess that was my long-winded way of saying, when I had you on, I had a few other guest hosts, oh, I'll get you on for every season, but I'm finding that I'm not able to repeat the co-hosts as quickly as I thought. So somebody might be on season one. You're already at the end of season two. And I've got a couple other guest hosts from the first season that are really, well, I've enjoyed everybody, but people I legitimately want to come back again who are great podcasters themselves. And they're going to be on like later seasons, three, maybe four. Like your next season might be four, right? Like the way the rotation goes. Anyways, I'm always honored or flattered when a fellow podcaster listens to my podcast. And I say that because it's like, you know, in our little hobbies, you know, you're taking time out of your world to listen to me. And I'm humbled by that, because your time is valuable because you're doing the same hobby. And it's like when you think of a musician as a fan of another band, like it's kind of, or a comedian of another comedian, you're kind of honored by that because they're in the same business. And like, oh, they're taking time out of their day to listen to me. So maybe I'm doing an okay job, or we're both crappy. Who knows? Either way.
Yeah, probably the latter, but we'll forget that maybe.
Well, talk about your show. Let's let the audience know who you are, what you do, what your podcast is all about.
Yeah, so obviously my name's Adrian, and I've been on the Arcade Attack podcast, which is a retro gaming podcast. I want to say for about 4 or 5 years now. I think we started in 2016, 2017, and then we started monthly, then it sort of built up, and we do like a weekly show now. It's been pretty successful. It's big in the UK. It's got quite a few US, I think it's more US listeners now than the UK, actually. I don't know if that's the case for your podcast, and you get a lot more from
certain countries. Oh, that's amazing. I gotta get listeners to get those kind of numbers. I will say the US is the top country, but the UK is number two. You guys are number two. I've had great support from the Rocky fandom. Canada, my home country, absolutely sucks. The Canada listenership is horrible.
Really?
So it's US for sure, California, New York. There's a few states that still haven't heard me. I think, I gotta look at it. Like, I think it's Wyoming. I don't think I've got one download from Wyoming. Like, there's some states like that, But the UK has been great. Ireland's been great. The next country or continent is Australia. So it's kind of like US, UK, Australia, Canada, somewhere, I don't know. Canada's the worst.
It's huge in the UK, though, because I think I mentioned a while ago, I spent good money, again, probably around 2016, to see Stallone live, like a live show, doing a Q&A, then answering questions from the audience, and just And it was sold out in days, and I managed to get a ticket for me and my wife. And I think they did a similar thing with, who was it again? It might have been Bruce Willis, or I think it was Mel Gibson. And I could tell, you could see they just kept promoting and promoting. They couldn't sell that out. They might have done it eventually, but Stallone was gone. I think there was a Mel Gibson one. I think it didn't sell out straight away, so they kept kind of promote. It just shows you that Stallone, he's great. He's a good actor. Don't get me wrong.
He's my favorite anti-Jew. I think if there's a, I mean, I'm not that way, but he's my favorite one that is that way.
It's not Kanye West, then I take it.
He's a better artist than Kanye West. No, all joking aside. I love Mel's movies. They're fun. I mean, I don't agree with some of the things he said, of course, and that goes for every artist, though. That's how I look at Stallone says and does things I don't agree with. Every artist, every actor, every musician. If you're on board with everything everyone says just because you're a fan of their work.
We did a episode recently, I think that's my recent, on the Arcade Attack, on Moonwalker, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
That's right.
And I don't want to, open a whole can of worms, but separating the person from the film and the games can be challenging, but you got to try, eh?
Well, you know what? Snuggling with little children is just fine. There's nothing wrong. He didn't do anything. He just slept in the bed with them. He didn't touch them. He just, just little sleepover parties. It's good. I love that game. By the way, Moonjocker. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. I loved that game. I played it all the time on the Sega Genesis. So
yeah, because you're a Sega boy, aren't you? You were back in the day. Yeah,
I was like mega Sega. Like I was anti Nintendo. I was such a Sega fanboy that I was like anti. Yeah. I couldn't like. I would like grudgingly play on my friend's NES. All right, and I kind of like fine. Yeah. I'll play Super Mario 3. It's like, all right, this game's kind of cool. I was like begrudgingly would like Nintendo games, but. That's when you're a teenager, you kind of, it's like your team, right? You can't think of, think of your, speaking of which, World Cup's going on right now. How's,
I actually watched the Canada game, didn't you? You lost, sadly, didn't you? You lost, but you played very well in that first game.
Not bad for Canadians.
Yeah, but you missed the penalty. England's doing pretty well, really. They thrashed Iran 6-2, but we drew to USA. So good old USA was a bit of a boring 0-0. So
how's that work then for the standings? I don't.
Yeah, it's like mini groups in the World Cup. So it's like mini groups, and if you're in the top two in the four teams in that mini group, you go to the knockout stages.
Are we knocked out now, Canada, or no?
No, but obviously losing wasn't good. You probably need to probably get at least a win.
Of course,
in the next two games, at least one win, but probably more than one win, really. So it's a shame because you played really well, and I don't sound patronising. You deserve to be. I can't remember who you lost to now. It's lost my mind, but you deserve to win that first game. I think.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, I don't follow. I mean, yes, it's Canada. It's a big deal. I understand enough. I just don't follow soccer/football. I don't follow it. So even though it's my country, I just I don't watch the sport. I think it's fantastic. I think the athletes are amazing. They run so much. It's incredible. It's just not my thing. Hockey, of course, is what I watch. So I would like to challenge Qatar's hockey team to our Canadian team. Let's see how they do. Anyways, all right. That's great. Yeah. World Cup soccer. Your podcast is doing well. Well, you were on season one. Of course, we talked about First Blood and your thoughts on First Blood and Rambo in general. Why don't you just remind us of your Rambo fandom and then talk about your feelings overall about the second film in the franchise.
I do really enjoy the Rambo films. They're almost, you kind of hinted to this, Ryan, they're different sort of films, aren't they? So 2 and 3 are a bit silly. Not even silly, that's a bit harsh, but a little bit more all action, less sort of meat on the bones, but still really enjoyable. Whereas the first film, you often forget how good that film is, really, as a standalone movie, how unbelievable it is. It just works so well. I quite like 4. I was really buzzing when that came out, but it's like a different feel to all the others as well, quite a dark feel. The last film, again, I quite enjoy as well. Going to the cinema to watch that last Rambo film was challenging because it didn't in the UK, it wasn't very well hyped up at all. They only showed it like once in one weekend, it seems. So I managed to get tickets to that, but it wasn't a massive deal, unlike the Rocky films, I should say. So I managed to get a ticket, but it wasn't widespread. But I showed you some pictures earlier, Ryan. I've dressed up as Rambo before. I don't look anything like Sly, but I really like him as a character. Interesting character.
You sent me those photos, and I was like, yeah. Sly, is that you?
Yeah.
You had the same muscle mass, everything.
Oh, I wish.
It's fantastic. We'll get you on for season 5 for sure, because I know Last Blood, which will be season 5, it's kind of like the Rocky 5 of the Rambo franchise. I think a lot of people maligned Last Blood. You know this with podcast numbers, and I've said this before about my show. I never get it. I never understand why someone, like, because I go through the movie bit by bit. You're like, same with the Rocky, but I don't have consistent numbers. It's a weird concept to me that somebody who listens to episode 4 listens to episode 7, but not 5. It's like, I don't want to listen to them dissect the helicopter scene. I only want to listen to, like, I don't know. My numbers are never consistent. I don't know how it works. Cause I would figure if you're listening to my show at the beginning and the first season, I don't know. They go up and down like a roller coaster. And I don't understand who listens to one episode over another. I guess they like certain scenes more than others. I don't know. But I don't even advertise necessarily what scene we're on. Anyways, that's just
weird.
Podcaster to podcaster. I get for your podcast, it would be understandable that somebody would be interested in an interview with somebody or a certain video game they enjoyed. Because I've only listened to certain episodes on yours for that reason. Like, I like that video game. So the discussion points you have, I can relate to. But if you talk about a game I've never played before, I wouldn't know necessarily.
It fluctuates.
Right.
Yeah. The listening numbers fluctuate quite heavily.
I know when I guessed on it, they spiked. I know when I was a guest. They shot through the
roof. That's where our Canadian listeners came from, I think that answers the question now, yeah.
Ryan's on the show, we gotta listen to that. Okay.
Ryan, before I forget, look at this bad boy. I know it's an audio podcast, but it's on YouTube as well. I got this from my friend Keith, who's also a host also on the Arcade Attack podcast, and it's a Rambo 3.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it's, I want to say Japanese, but can you see that calligraphy at the bottom? How cool is that? It's a laser disc for Rambo 3.
Sorry, I stepped on you there. Yeah, it's a laser disc. That is awesome. A laser
disc. It is so cool. I mean, I can't play it, sadly, because I don't have a laser disc player, but a CD video laser disc. But
that is awesome.
I just love the visuals on it as well.
Have you ever used a laser disc in your life?
No, we've spoken about it before on the podcast,
but a little bit.
Not me personally, no, because...
Yeah, they were fun. I was 16, 17, and my rich... You had to be rich. I was not rich growing up. So my friend, who was a little bit, you know, he had a little bit more money, and they had a Laserdisc player. That was pretty, like, we were amazed by this. Of course, we had CDs. I was a CD owner, so the idea that a movie could be on a CD format... They were the size of an LP, like a vinyl. That's how big they are. So anyone who's listening to this, there you go.
Yeah.
It looks like a vinyl.
It does,
size.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You would have to flip the laser disc. That's the thing. The whole movie doesn't fit on one side. You'd have to flip. So the little thing would come up on the screen, flip the side too or whatever, and you had to flip the laser disc. And this is so funny because back then, this was 1992, back then, I don't know what the quality was really like because TVs weren't high def. Like they were still standard TVs back then. So anyways, the idea was like, this is so cool. It's on a laser disc. I guess it also came with special features. That was the thing too. They did have special features. Does that one come with any? Does it look like, or it's hard to say.
If I could read this particular language, I could probably answer. It's got all the chapters and so forth, but. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Well, one of my favorite possessions actually.
That is really cool. No, I know that will be for the few people. There's a few actually. The Ramble podcast gets more YouTube views than the Rocky one. So there are a lot of viewers that do watch the on this online. So they'll see that for sure.
And I've got a little, I call it a movie memorabilia here, a figurine, but my wife calls them dollies. So I've got a Rambo little toy there.
Are those bolts around him there?
Yeah, they're the bullets, I think. And can you see there's I think it's supposed to have a machine gun, but there's like a twisty bit of the bang, but I don't know. I think I'm not sure exactly what film this Rambo's from, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like a cross between 2 and 3 there for sure. That's funny. A combination of 1 through 3.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
All right. Well, that's awesome. So you are a fan of Rambo. That's fantastic. And yeah, of course it's Sly, and I've always said Sly's acting in Rambo as an action figure or character is very well done. That you don't. Do you ever see Rocky when you watch Rambo? If that makes sense. Do you ever?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's the mullet, isn't it? That's the change.
It's the mullet. It's the hair. And I think that's. And again, I think. Oh yeah, I've said it 100 times. I'll probably say it 100 more times. That's how I got in that whole podcast discussion regarding numbers, because maybe people won't hear this because they don't listen to every episode. So Rambo 5 would have been more successful had he had the longer hair. I kid you not. The biggest criticism people had was, oh, this could have been any action film. They could have called him John Smith or whatever. And that's a fair argument because he had short hair.
Yeah.
If Rambo had the bandana with long hair, Sly just made that choice. People would have, they would have bought into the Rambo character. I think that's the character. I think when you take away the bandana, you take away the character. So that's the biggest flaw. Yeah.
It's surprising actually because, Rambo 5 came out kind of in the lockdown times with my hair. That's maybe it then, because I couldn't get to the barbers personally, and I was actually growing a bit of a mullet. Oh. And my wife couldn't stand it. She's like, cut that thing off. I'm like, oh, I can't get to the barbers. So.
You should just put a bandana on. It would have looked much better.
Well, that's the thing, 100%.
All right. Well, there you go. There's our introduction. Of course, check out Adrian's show. I'll get you to plug it again at the end. But if you're ready, let's discuss some things here about the film. Okay, so we're flying along here.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more of the film left, is there? It's crazy.
Well, there's 20 minutes left. I dare say I don't think you're going to – yeah, you won't be ending the show because 20 minutes of film is at least maybe 2 to 3 episodes, for sure, too. But there's a lot of action beats here. So what we're going to probably do, folks, is I might be muting it a little bit here and there, because this is just going to be like a grunting, screaming, machine gun firing. But then Adrian and I will talk to, of course, the iTunes audience, as well as if you want to come watch this on YouTube, the scenes will be playing in the background. You just don't have to hear the – not as effective, just always hear the play. So we'll play and talk over some of the muting of the action. But the last sequence was, of course, the incredible fire sequence of him jumping off the cliff and blowing up that that Viet Cong soldier with the bow and arrow. It's amazing. Yeah. So that was all last episode. The last episode ended with – Rambo jumping out of the water and grabbing the guy that was shooting at him in the water with his M60 there. Now, I got to ask you, maybe you can comment on it, Rambo's ability to jump vertical out of the water and land on the, I guess you call the helicopter's, what do you call that landing gear underneath that they land? Anyways, is that humanly possible, Adrian? What are your thoughts?
Depends how many coffees he's had, you know, if he's properly caffeinated throughout his blood, and then maybe, but it's crazy.
It's a funny sequence. We talked about my co-host last episode with Robert. He and I speculated that maybe he grabbed it and pulled himself up. Like, we just don't see it. It's a terrible edit. So the edit looks like he just vertically leaps and lands. It's a horrible edit. They should have shown – I'm not the best filmmaker, but if I was there in quality control, what I would have done is I would have shown Rambo, you know, leap out of the water, grab the landing, and with his other hand grab the guy and pull him down.
But jumping out of water is hard. Imagine a swimming pool, even if you're just on the – it's hard to jump out. What you needed is someone like Cristiano Ronaldo. I don't know if you heard this footballer. I'm sure you've recognized the name. Massive footballer in Portugal. He's renowned for jumping really high to head the ball. And they call it hang time. I think they refer to it in basketball as well. But he can jump and sort of seems to like float in the air for a few seconds.
Interesting. Yeah, send me some links to that. That's – kind of weird. Yeah, of course, Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's, I think, when I first heard hang time back when I was a teenager.
Maybe.
He would just fly through the air. Yeah. Like, is he ever coming down? Yeah, it's...
But Sly has been a goalkeeper before, hasn't he? So maybe he's got a bit of practice in that.
Good callback to victory. Oh, boy. Check on the last of the Axios Podcast Network, too. My review of Victory. Yeah, fun film. Okay, so now Rambo is in the helicopter, and he's going to score off against... the big Russian dude that tortured him. I love how he survived the electrocution himself. So him and Rambo are going to have some hand-to-hand here coming up. Again, it's muted because all you're going to hear is grunting and fighting. And so the helicopter is being flown by someone still. I always love it when they do this in films when whoever's flying the aircraft is like, oh, crap, there's like activity in the cabin behind me, which is legit. You would be fearful because you're flying a thing that can crash and people are fighting behind you. I would be nervous.
Can you imagine if the helicopter driver has seen the first Rambo film? I'm dead meat here.
That's right. Helicopters and Rambo. We've talked about this before where he has issues with helicopters in all three films. First three films, I should say. He doesn't come across them in part four, does he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah. No. It's the classic hand-to-hand squeezing, grabbing, choking, eye gouging.
It's proper, yeah. You can see his face is really...
So this actor, I forget his name, and I will say somebody did send me, I think it's, his name is Brad. So Brad, thank you for listening to this, Brad. He sent me an email with this this actor's email. So I haven't reached out yet, Brad, if you're watching. I would like to reach out to him and interview him, see if he'd be willing to interview his stories that he had on this set. I think it'd be great because he's older now. I think he's in his 80s now. But I think he would be a fun interview if he's willing to talk. I just thought of that, reminded myself to reach out to him. He's probably got some fun stories regarding this because he's really with Sly for quite a bit here. Like, this is a very close contact, intimate sequence. If you think about the actors themselves, they're grabbing and holding and squeezing, and he was very physical. So I suspect he probably got physical in real life. John Rivoli, I don't know if you remember that episode. He mentioned the story about this guy. He likes to be hit for real. He wanted to be hit with a real phone or microphone in that sequence in the hut. So anyways, I didn't mean to step on you there, but yeah, he seems like a very physical guy. So when they're doing this fight, I know it's obviously fake and choreographed, but they're really manhandling each other in that cockpit. Mm,
you could tell by Stallone's face, he's probably his fingers right in his cheek, and they weren't holding back, were they? It wasn't like, oh, be careful there.
And that's Sly too. Sly, he loves to look at the Rocky films. They're pulled back punches, but Sly always talked about to make the punches look, you gotta hit, you know, it's gotta hit the face and move the skin, and they really hit each other. So I've actually just paused here where the Russian guy got thrown out of that's a real stunt there. What do you think?
That's amazing. That's 10 out of 10 on the diving board, isn't it? Just before he jumped out, during the tussle, I noticed he had a pistol holder, didn't he? I wonder if he could have, instead of strangling Rambo, he could have grabbed the gun instead, but I guess, you know, his intention was to strangle or push him out the side, I guess.
So Rambo's on his back. He's grabbing him by the throat, and then he grabs his belt buckle and does like a backwards hurl, which again is incredible feats of strength to be able to. Would you be able to grab and literally from your back throw him over your body? Think about the kind of strength you would need,
especially someone as big as that Russian dude.
Yeah, he's like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So that's what he does here, right? That is a great stunt, though. That helicopter is in the air. That is not CGI. That guy is – what's he landing on? Is he wearing a parachute or anything?
Maybe one of those massive airbags. You know, they show in certain –
that's still – you got to correlate. That helicopter is in the air. That's a real fall.
Yeah, that's not a dummy, is it? A dummy wouldn't fall that way. That's a human, you can tell.
So I love how Rambo gives it, you know, he watches the guy fall to the ground, like, oh, the splatter. Yeah, that's right. We don't see the splatter, unfortunately. And now he goes to the helicopter pilot. You're next, buddy. Oh, so Rambo pulls out his knife. And the guy's like, no, I'm good. I'm out of here.
The helmet comes off as well.
So Rambo pulls out his knife. If that guy didn't jump, would he have killed? Do you think he would have stabbed him? Is that what he's going to do? Or is he just threatening him? Do you think Rambo's intention was actually to, like, to slit his throat or stab him in the face? Or is he happy the helicopter guy jumped out? What do you think?
Well, we know Rambo can ride helicopters, can't he? So he doesn't need the pilot.
Is that a threat, or is he legit wanting to use it?
I would say he's in that red zone, and whereas anyone, he sees it as an enemy right now. I do feel sorry for the pilot a bit, though. Oh, bless him.
It's a great shot here, too. So I think we almost forget, because of movies nowadays with green screen and drones, and we forget that these movies in the 80s didn't have drones, we didn't have green screen, so all these aerial shots is another aerial vehicle in the air filming the helicopter. So there's a lot going on here. This is a quick little shot here, but it's panned out, the helicopter's panned out, and we see Stallone walking through the opening of the helicopter towards the pilot as he hops out.
Which is dangerous, isn't it? That is dangerous to do. It's clearly open on both sides. You could fall out.
I guess I'm just really appreciating the aesthetics of this real stunt work. So Stallone goes to the front. This guy really jumps out. Those are moving rotors. This helicopter is in the air.
That's crazy.
And then right here, buddy jumps out.
He seems to throw his hat off, doesn't he? Surely, if you're falling out, you want to keep as much protection on as possible.
The stunt guy threw his helmet off. He's like, maybe he had a bad marriage. You're right, Adrian. He should keep the helmet on, but he purposely tossed it off. It's a great effect. And then we have what I love here is the camera pans to the rocks, giving us it's supposed to be the perspective of the helicopter pilot landing into the rocks.
If he landed in the sea, he's got a chance of survival. I don't know how much of a chance, but those rocks, no chance.
We get to see his perspective of death. Now Rambo has secured the helicopter. What I love is he knows exactly where to go. Turns it around. He's got complete control of the helicopter now. He couldn't get a job parking cars, and he should really put this on his resume. I would always love to know what place of business he went to go park cars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could fly helicopters. I can park your car.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a great shot of the sun behind the helicopter. It's very reminiscent of, like, Apocalypse Now.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, so good. Look at that little bridge thing.
Yeah. So you got a soldier standing on a bridge. And, okay, this is a great sequence coming up. So Rambo is now in a – I don't know what kind of helicopter this is. People that are – I mean, I'm in the military, but I'm terrible when it comes to aircraft specs. But what I love is this helicopter is armed to the teeth. Now, the little I do know about aircraft, depending on how much weaponry you load on it, would obviously affect the fuel, the weight of the – but this thing is loaded to the gills. Endless supply of ammunition, missiles. So the guy is standing on the bridge like, oh, there's a helicopter coming back to the village. Rambo sees him. He's like, okay, you're dead. You're dead. It just,
yeah.
He takes a missile out on that bridge. Talk about.
He could have got a machine gun.
Yeah, I just love it. Yeah. Of course, so he's gone back to the camp where the prisoners are. And what I love is Rambo's ability, one, to know where the prisoners are. Let's just, has any one of them been moved, or his tactical precision of exploding everything around but keeping the prisoners safe. Like, he's able to, I don't know, like, it's just so, I mean, it's 80s, but this is what makes it fun and silly at the same time. It's his precision ability to cause mass chaos, but also not injure the prisoners who are in the same camp. Look at the result of these explosions. Are these huts made out of gunpowder?
Oh, man.
So now, of course, the Vietnamese soldiers have been alerted to Rambo's presence, obviously. So you got the machine guns taking them out. This is Sly in the cockpit. Now, obviously, to the right of Sly is the pilot, yep. The actual pilot of the aircraft. But that's a great – so they must have had a camera outside the windshield, because he's going around the set here, the fire and the jungle below him. And that's Sly. Let's just appreciate, again, no green screen, Sly in the cockpit. Because yep. We're so used to, like, right here too. Like, we're so used to – we're almost spoiled now, even with Top Gun Maverick. And we know that the incredible footage they use, but they have the advantage of just, granted, the Maverick is an exception because they use no green screen for that film, by the way.
Which is really impressive, yeah. To be fair.
So that was a terrible example. I guess what I'm saying is everything but Maverick is what I meant to say. Because all these other flying movies, a lot of green screen, a lot of trickery. 85, they didn't have green screen. And for the first Top Gun, they didn't, a lot of it was, in that fake cockpit they do for Star Wars type stuff, right? What I love here is you got over-the-shoulder shot of Sly going through, like, flying in the helicopter. So the helicopter's actually flying. Again, his pilot, the real pilot's to the right. So that's a great shot. And then, again, Sly or Rambo flying over the village. Another great shot of him just going in the air. It's just a cool shot. You just get that velocity of the air and the village below him. That's...
And there's lots of different shots of the helicopter, isn't there? It's not just one they're focusing on. It's very interesting.
The speed that the helicopter's going. And so you get the...
Look at that.
Yeah.
Must be another helicopter above him, maybe, catching all these. So good.
Got helicopter here, helicopter. So again, all real aerial shots. And it just makes me appreciate the inside the cockpit shots more, knowing that's, that's cool. Sly in the copter. Again, they're always being very clear. They never show the right of them. It's never the full,
yeah.
It's like you're not thinking of that, but when you realize, okay, well, somebody else flying the helicopter. How many missiles have gone off? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Endless ammunition. Another one, 13, 14. Look at the explosions. Just so much ammunition explosions. People just get mince-meated up. But it's like a very orgasmic experience because, yeah, right there. Okay, let me just, we want to hear the yell. So for our audience at home, you want to hear this yell. So, of course, Rambo's going through the village, destroying it. Russians are going up. Vietnamese soldiers are going up. The prisoners of war are watching this spectacle. They're cheering and seeing all their captors being torn to pieces. But there's a great sequence here where Rambo takes out the Jeep. And watch the edit though. The edit's hilarious because it shows the guy next to the Jeep and then the explosion happens right after. He just like disappears because it's like a cut edit where the guy's next to the Jeep and then the explosion. It's just kind of funny. But then Rambo / Sly's yell is great. He's just like, he's been unleashed.
Oh, nice.
Here we go. So continue carnage. It just continues. Endless limits of bolts, missiles, rounds. It's just endless.
Really cool.
Jeeps are going up. Huts are going up. Water is exploding. Soldiers dying.
It's like Commando, isn't it? That famous scene in Commando when the enemies keep dying and dying.
So. The amount of ammunition that this helicopter is holding is absolutely insane. The turrets alone can't hold the missiles he's fired, but it doesn't matter. You know, for the audience and for Rambo at the same time, we're both enjoying this orgasmic action sequence because, again, with the first film, and even up to this point, he's been leashed. He's been on this kind of like he can't, and now he's been given a weapon where he can, whoa.
It's so iconic, isn't it, when he grabs his gun?
Oh, yeah. So, Rambo 4, I think that's why people love that, because that it's the same sequence that happens in Rambo 4, where he's given that the gun on the back of the Jeep, the 50 cal, and he takes everyone out with this. It's the same type of experience. He grabs the, I believe this is a 50 caliber weapon as well. I'm not sure, or M60. This is probably M60. Correct me if I'm wrong, maybe people in the chat, or not chat, but social media or emails can let me know. Did an action star before 85 grab a weapon that was not supposed to be, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think Rambo was the first guy to do this. This is too heavy to carry, but I'm Rambo, I can carry it type weapon sequence or scene.
Arnold did it in
Commando, but that was a response to this.
Yeah, that was after, wasn't it? That was, late 80s, wasn't it, Commando?
Commando was 86, maybe? Because Commando was after Rambo, because people are like, Ryan, how come you don't know the dates? I cover too many movies, okay? I can't remember every single date. Yeah, sorry, 85 was Rambo 2, because that was the same year as Rocky 4. So, I think Commando was 86. I think it was a legit response, a quick response to the Rambo 2. Okay. But anyway, so you grab, great. Grabs the weapon. Now, right there, that's...
That's mad.
That's cool looking. So, of course, people listening, we're talking about he's got the, I think it's an M60 weapon. It's under his armpit, you know, squeezed between his bicep and his chest. And he's holding it one-handed.
Yeah, it's not even double-handed. He's got the other, he's holding the bullets, isn't it?
He's holding the rounds in his left hand. Because you see in like the Vietnam films, and you have the one guy who's got the gun on the ground, and the other guy is feeding the rounds to the weapon. Well, this is almost like a two-man operation, but we're seeing here that Rambo himself could do it by himself, standing. Oh, man, I love the accuracy he has too, which is insane. The kickback from that alone, you know, but...
Yeah, can you imagine?
People can kind of hear it. So I love the POWs are cheering. Hey, up here, they said they're cheering.
With all these bullets flying around, you think they'd be duck, get right the back and hide, but they're just cheering like it's the FA Cup final or something, the World Cup final.
I love how he says, hey, we're up here. Well, yeah, I think Rambo knows. He purposely, you're the only hut he didn't blow up. So now he's got the POWs. They're moving out with him. Get to the chopper. So was Rambo the first one to say that? Get to the chopper?
Get to the chopper. Yeah, maybe it's a little wink, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it might be Arnold's wink to get to the chopper. Yeah, Rambo says it here in 85. He goes, get them to the chopper. Go to the chopper. So he's definitely saying that first. Now we got a Russian who's not quite dead. Quite dead yet. And he's going to shoot one of the POWs. If we talk about going through all that... Just to get shot in your escape, eh?
Oh, no.
Poor guy. So, he slowly grabs the gun. He didn't have to be that sneaky about it. There's no way the game was...
Yeah.
I love the way that guy falls forward. Have you ever noticed that? The way he falls forward when he gets shot? No. Go back to that. Watch how he falls forward. So the Russian shoots off like, you know, 30 rounds, but only one hits him in the back, the POW in the back. The way he falls forward like a tree falling. Watch.
Yeah. Timber.
It's such a weird response to get shot in the back. Of course, Rambo takes him out, like, you know, payback, right away. Just lays him out.
The thing is, that Russian dude probably would have survived all this if he let Rambo just leave.
I'm in a foreign country doing the dirty work of the Vietnamese army. I've escaped Rambo's wrath. You want to take the POWs, dude? Go. You know, and then now, what's going to answer to the Russian authorities? Why are you still alive? How come you did not kill the prisoners? I just woke up from mass concussions and bleeding out. I'm sorry I didn't kill them in their escape, you know. Yeah.
He wanted to be the hero, I guess.
I guess he wanted to be the Russian hero, yeah. Triumphant music because the chopper is now leaving with the soldiers. Oh, you know, to be fair, the weight has been established again because he emptied the helicopter of all the ammunition and missiles, and now you can carry on the passengers. There you go. He had no choice but to eliminate everything from the helicopter so he could bring on the passengers.
He didn't even want to, Ryan. He had to.
So. He had no choice. It's like, if I got to offload this weaponry, I might as well just kill some people in the process. Absolutely. So another great shot there of Rambo in the cockpit or Sly. I love how he's got a couple switches he hits. I wonder what he did there. Like, turn on the radio.
Yeah. Turn on the victorious music. Yeah.
All right, we made it, they said. They're so excited and happy.
Oh, that picture.
They're all celebrating back there. And there's a part, you can almost see it in Sly's acting there, where Rambo, if Rambo could smile, he was smiling there. Like, he's not, he seems kind of contented, didn't he?
He did. He's proud of himself. You know, he's finally got revenge as well for,
Oh yeah.
The love interest called again? I always forget her name. Coe, that's it. Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, he got that particular revenge with the exploding.
He did,
yeah. Yeah, because he literally exploded the guy that killed Coe. Which again, I've said it a few times, that same character is the guy that tortured Rambo in the camp, according to David Morrell. So if you want to take that canon with you, it makes that kill that much more.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, we made it. They're so happy. Yay. What? Movie over. That's it. Oh, wait.
Oh, that is so cool. I don't know what that helicopter is, but that is up a notch, isn't it?
You know, it's fantastic because great cinematography, because we've got this cheerful triumph of the POWs. They're so excited, and Rambo seems somewhat content. And then you've got this Russian helicopter that is just armed to the teeth. Look at this thing.
I'm trying to count the missiles. It's crazy, isn't it? The amount of arsenal on that particular helicopter is insane.
Yeah, this movie's already 27. Oh boy, my math. Help me out here. 85 to 2022 is it 37 years old already?
Blimey, it would be, wouldn't it?
Oh my goodness gracious. Wow. We're getting old. I'm getting old. You're young compared to me, but 10 years old when this came out. That's right. Yeah, this is 37 years old. Oh boy. Anyway, so, but what I love is this helicopter. This looks formable today. Like, I don't know. That's a beastie looking, scary looking helicopter. If that flew over my village today or my town today, I'd be a little bit nervous. Okay. It's just like a video game, right? Because the guy that's flying the helicopter is the same guy that was interrogating Rambo in the hut. It's the same guy.
Multi-skilled. Yeah. Can you imagine the amount of years to fly one of those bad boys? I'm a really good negotiator as well. So,
well, both him and his torture guy, the big Russian dude, the big torture dude, they both are skilled helicopter pilots. So maybe that's how they met. They met in helicopter school. And they,
I can imagine a prequel.
It's a typical, like, he's the big baddie, so he's got to fly the last helicopter, right? That's a great shot there, the helicopter flying over the debris of the village. So he sees that, oh, Rambo's been here. I've got to track him down. And here he comes. Hang on. So again, check out the shots here. No. Look at that. That's actually a great shot right there. Just armed to the teeth.
It's incredible, isn't it? Those heat-seeking missiles, I'd assume. They're proper heavy machine guns, four of them. Very, very impressive. Very impressive.
What I love is that because Rambo's occupying the other helicopter, it somehow embeds it with a supernatural power. You know, like, the odds are against Rambo, but the machine he's on is completely outgunned by this thing. But that doesn't matter. Rambo's at the helm.
And Rambo's thinking, I should have kept one of those missiles just in case.
Yeah, I should have kept one. You know what he could do? he should throw out the POW dude who's already dead and throw it against, you know, like a bird against the rotors or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, another guy got hit. So the Russian copter, of course, is rightfully so, trying to take down this American copter. So great aerial shots here of, again, non-CGI, these two coppers having the aerial chase. Great shots here. I mean, I can't encourage you guys enough to come to our YouTube channel and watch this, but I mean, obviously, it's on your own personal laser disc at home if you want to watch it. But you got to imagine the audiences back in the day were just in such a treat with this movie. My last host, Robert, he talked about how when he was a little older than me, he was a teenager when this came out. You can imagine why he would have gone to the theater five times in a row to see this.
It's a spectacle, isn't it? It's like a car chase, but on steroids. And I can't remember many films showing a helicopter chase like this properly. It's so cool.
Great point, Adrian. Yeah, I don't know how many other helicopter chases has there been. Again, we're spoiled by, I guess, Top Gun would have come up before this. So Top Gun had the aerial chases. I'll give credit to Top Gun again. That would have been a first for sure. This wartime aerial chase with helicopters, I'm asking people to let me know, did this happen? This was like the modern day, well, Star Wars for action films. Because when Star Wars came out, everyone was like, whoa, fights in space and everything was crazy. Like, this action film, the reason why it was so popular was because it was doing things that films hadn't done at the time. If I remember correctly, there's a sequence coming up here, Adrian. Come to our YouTube to see what I'm talking about. But the helicopter has a piece of debris fall off, and you'll see it. Great action sequence. So the real helicopter had debris fall off the helicopter for the sequence that it's getting hit by Rambo's gunman here. That debris, I think it almost hurts somebody because it actually lands in the village. You'll see it hit the village. Watch that. So you'll see it get hit, so to speak, as it flies through the village. I don't think it hurt anybody, but that was, right there. See, it cuts the tree in half. That's real. I'll go back in. So watch it again. So that hitting the tree was real. I don't know if they didn't script that. So it falls off, hits the tree, boom, cuts it in half. They actually slowed it down to show it.
Yeah, and that's not like foam or anything. If that hit someone, that would
kill someone. Yeah, so I think
that cut the tree in half.
Yeah, so I think that was an accident. That didn't hurt anyone, so they kept it. And that's why they slowed down. If you watch the film, they slowed down the film rate to show the effect of the tree getting sliced in half.
Walking home years ago when I was a really young dad with my kid in a buggy, just walking down the street, and really fast, this sort of van drove past me. It had like an open back to it, like almost like a little truck. It had a load of debris at the back of it, and it was really windy, and this massive, massive piece of wood flew off right from the back of this truck, and it landed, I'm not joking, maybe about 2 meters from me. Oh, yeah. And I was like, whoa, if I was like 2 meters ahead, I don't think me or my son would be alive right now, or we have very bad injuries. It was crazy. So it's just kind of bringing back some flashbacks there.
People have been injured. I mean, that's tornadoes and any kind of heavy windstorm. People are injured, not by the wind, but by the debris that flies. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Oh, well, it wasn't secured properly in the back, obviously, but yeah.
That's dangerous, yeah. So now Rambo's got the upper hand on the Russian copper here. They're firing at it. They have the higher ground, as they say in the Star Wars films, being Star Wars. So they're just firing back at each other. I love it. So
look at that.
It's like two horsemen shooting at each other. You know, like, it's pretty cool. And now Rambo's hit.
He's spinning.
This is always a bad sign for any kind of helicopter. But I love this effect here. So let's just go back. Look at the smoke pouring out. You can almost see the stuntman holding the fog machine or something for the smoke. Watch. It's a kind of a dangerous stunt because the helicopter pilots flying, they're spinning the helicopter, which is, I can't imagine that's safe. I don't know.
No. And helicopters are, I'm not an expert, but there's been, sadly, quite a few big deaths recently with celebrities and helicopters. They're not easy vehicles to control, and accidents do happen. Can you imagine those two helicopters so close? That would be a really dangerous stunt.
So you've got the smoke machine here pouring out, whatever that is, the dry ice machine, making that smoke. I think you can see the guy holding it right here. See, he's just dumping out. You can
see. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it wouldn't come out that part. You wouldn't think, would you?
No, I mean, they wouldn't have real... Yeah, it's kind of weird that it's smoking like that. But right here, you can see it just being pumped out by some smoke machine guy
holding. Yeah, he's holding it. Yeah.
Which is fine, right? There you see it too. But yeah, it can't be real smoke either, obviously, or else, you know, you're gonna choke out the real pilot. So they're saying there's a fire in the tail, but it's coming out of the, cockpit. Or what do you call that? Where the passengers are. This is kind of a trickery of the
film. Yeah, you think, oh, Rambo's finally gone.
Because he fires these missiles, and it's weird because it doesn't make sense. Well, this is watch, because he fires it behind Rambo, so you think he would know that he hit him, but it's a trick in the audience because he fires it here, so he's behind Rambo. So he should be able to see that he's taken Rambo out. So it explodes, but the explosion is in front of the copter.
Yeah.
So we as an audience are like, oh, Rambo got hit. And the smoke is clearing. He's like, now he's trying to find the debris. So that doesn't make sense. He didn't hit the helicopter. He hit the ground in front of, like, he should be able to, he should see that he hit the ground and not the helicopter, but he's just as blinded by us as we are by him. I don't know. It's weird. And I love how far he's traveled, and the helicopter will, Rambo's helicopter will come out of the ground like it's hiding in the bushes. It's so funny. Oh no, I remember what happens. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different sequence. Okay. Yeah. You're right. That's right. It's,
yeah. He's like a wounded animal. He's like a wounded animal.
That's right. The helicopter's wounded. The rotors are still spinning.
And look, Rambo's like, yep. How could you see from that? He couldn't even tell from that how bad Rambo is. But he can say, oh, look, Rambo's injured too. This is easy.
This is such a funny sequence because, so what's happened here, folks, is Rambo has been shot at by the missiles of the Russian helicopter. Somehow the helicopter thinks he may have hit the helicopter, even though he's only 5 feet away. Rambo's now gotten about a half a kilometer away somehow, and he's landed the helicopter safely in the river, right? Everyone tracking. And now he's told the POWs, okay, guys, shh, shh, shh. What we're going to do is pretend you're sleeping. Shh, shh, shh. So they're all pretending to play dead. I love how Rambo's actually play acting here. He's hunched over, and he's got the bazooka ready to go. I love this. Is so...
Just to see, can you see that? The broken glass in Rambo's helicopter shows where the other... It's such a good... I don't know if that's coincidence, but that is really well directed. Isn't that particular bit? So great.
What Adrian's saying here, for our iTunes listener, is we have, through the cockpit shot, there's the broken hole in the windshield, and we're seeing the helicopter from the outside coming through that shot. That's a great...
Amazing.
Yeah, maybe. Great pick there. So now it's hovering. Now, if this guy was smart, look how much arsenal he hasn't used yet. He's got four missiles. He's got tons of... Then the helicopter's still spinning. I'd be like, take that thing out. Honestly, this thing's already fired and we're enemies. I'm not an army guy, but that's something they do. Like, when they overtake a position on the ground, if they overcome the enemy with fire and they get to... So let's say we're moving forward as a troop or squad... And we're firing where we've been fired on. And once we get within grenade distance, that's what they do. They throw a grenade. So we're not leaving anything to chance. Like, even though we're not getting fired on anymore, we've suppressed the fire that's coming on us. We're throwing a grenade in where that fire was coming from just to make sure whoever's still there isn't going to...
Any sneaky Russians that might sort of pop up.
Any sneaky Russians. I mean, we're not going to pick on any countries. The good news about this film was showing the Russians as the bad guys 37 years ago. At least that's not happening anymore. So at least we don't...
Well, exactly.
The Russians are okay now. They're fine. They're doing good. Okay. Here we go. The helicopter's hovering, checking the damage. Let's see how this ends up here. Great shot, though, the two helicopters face-to-face, though.
Yep. Look at his face. Yeah,
see, he's just out.
He's soaking it in. He's soaking it in, isn't he?
It's a trick. There's two things happening here. We as an audience think... He's out. He got knocked out. They crash-landed in the river. So we as the audience, we're experiencing... What the Russian aerial captain is, the helicopter captain, what he's experienced. So we're like seeing it through his eyes. Oh, Rambo's injured. He's out. He's unconscious. And well, snap out of it, Rambo. But unbeknownst to us, the audience, and this Russian, Rambo's pretending.
It's like a knockout blow in a Rocky film, isn't it? He's ready. Ivan Drago, that last punch.
That's right.
Thinking.
This is funny. He's smiling because he is going to take him out. So to be fair to the Russian, he is.
Oh, that is so quick response, isn't it?
Okay, we should go back. How quickly can you pick up a bazooka? That's quick draw bazooka. Let's try it again.
I assume they're really heavy weapons. Of course they would be.
Watch how fast he picks this up from his right side. Rambo picks it up. He's about to be, shot it. Boom. There we go.
So cool.
It is a great debris explosion in the air. I want to watch it again. I just kind of want to see what is in the air that explodes. Because obviously they did blow up a $1 billion helicopter, but just trying to see what it is they hit. It's such a great, right there, the fire blowing out in the back, that's great.
Yeah.
Which would have killed all the POWs behind them, or injured them.
Yeah.
Which I love. They're not injured by that. So we have a shot here. Oh, look. Look at the wires.
Yes. Oh, I've never noticed that before.
Oh.
Is that a model? Is it a model of a helicopter then? Do you reckon?
Look, I'm assuming. Look at the helicopter right here. It's missing the missiles to the left and the right on the wing. It's a makeup model of some sort. Mm. Look at the strings. You know what it is?
So
it's hanging upside down.
Yes. So they kind of flipped the shot, you think?
The shot. Look at the wires. The wires are hanging the helicopter upside down and explode the model. We got to be the first persons that discover that. What do you think? Do you think so?
I've never seen those cables before because it's a split second, isn't it?
Yeah. I just have to pause it.
Model it, and the gravity will be, I mean, it's upside down clearly there. Yeah.
Flip it, it's upside down, and they have explosives inside of it to blow it up. That's how they did it. There it is. Yay, we figured it out. I love it.
That's so cool.
I wonder if anyone else caught, maybe, but we're the first ones to say, come on, listeners, tell me you didn't know that before. Tell me I said something on the show you didn't know before. So that's how they blew up the Russian helicopter. They built a model. Well, it looks big.
They're pretty big.
Because they had big steel cables hanging it upside down. So yeah, that's cool. Because I was like, what do they have in the air? That's great. I love that old school trickery. I love it. There you go. That's how they did it, folks. That's how they did it.
Yeah.
Love it. Again, through the glass there, we get to
that
see
broken
it.
Glass was just big enough to fit a bazooka through.
Yeah, I love how nothing else got wrecked. Just that with the window shield hole still there. None of the prisoners got blown up with the. You see the fire that came out behind them, but none of the prisoners got burnt by that fire. They're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Ramble did check to make sure. He said, "Ooh, yeah, I forgot about you guys behind me. Oops, sorry. No one got burnt." All right, and off she goes. Okay. Well. That's actually a perfect place to end in our time. So the helicopter does take off. It's a little bit, as you can see the way it's flying, it's not quite working very well. It still has smoke coming out of it. And Rambles, there you go. But Rambles off to base camp. He's off to base camp with the cargo, and these guys have no idea.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I guess the next episode might be the last episode. So I don't even know who my guest co-host will be, because the guy that you're, I should say to our dear listeners, this is, Adrian was supposed to come on. You would have been the last episode probably, Adrian, so I don't know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I know. So Adrian was kind enough, last minute, my guest co-host will be on a later episode. They won't even be on the next one. We're going to be looking at the new year for them, so they're going to be part of Ramble 3. But they were unable to come today last minute. Something came up. I totally understand. Life happens. Adrian, last minute, came on. I do appreciate it because I got to record. I got to get an episode out. So
yeah,
I appreciate you coming in. Nobody wants to just hear me talk, even though I talk too much anyways. But what do you think? What was your thoughts on this Ramble 2 sequence that we watched?
It's one of those sequences you just watch in one big swoop, excuse the pun, and you don't really – I really enjoyed it before. But you kind of – it's there and it's gone. But the way we kind of paused it and looked at it with a critical eye in some places was really interesting. And I think you can appreciate it more. And I know you mentioned before, Ryan, I think I might mention before, but the lack of CGI or no CGI at all is one of the reasons why this film holds up so well. I get fed up with CGI graphics sometimes.
It always gets exhausting. I think Lord of the Rings, the trilogy that came out in the early 2000s, I think that was the perfect mix of storytelling, like using CGI to tell the story, but not relying on CGI to tell the story. So, because they used a lot of miniature models at the same time.
Yes.
We've gotten to the point now where we're special effects. The Terminator films, there was that CGI, of course, of the T-1000, but that was it. Because they told the story. This guy was a liquid metal entity. But everything else was still the explosions and practical effects. James 100%. Cameron was very good at, even though he's doing big films now that are CGI heavy. And I'm all for CGI, but early Harry Potter films are really good with CGI too. They tell a great story. Yep. You can't tell the Harry Potter films in the 80s. You wouldn't be able to do it. It'd be silly. You couldn't do it. You know, how would you film the Quidditch fight? You know, Quidditch sequences, right? There are some examples where CGI is totally, that's great, but I will even say like the Matrix films, John Wick films. Those are action films, but there's something aesthetically pleasing about real stunts. And hey, speaking of which, Tom Cruise, that's what I like about Tom Cruise. Again, we brought up Maverick 100 times or the Mission Impossible films. They do a lot of real stunts, and that's what makes them so much fun is you can tell these are dangerous and he's injured himself and these are real jumps and real. So let's just give a round of applause to those films today that are still doing practical effects, because I think they age better. When you watch this, you're not thinking, oh, it's horrible CGI. It's an 80s film. It's silly, but it's just like you said, it's still fun because it's practical.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit films, I think, are CGI overblown, and they're not as good, the Hobbit films, even though they're
fun, they're so well done, but there's something different. You're right. The Star Wars prequels. I mean, we're going to talk about Star Wars again.
I know.
A lot of the magic was lost when you lost the puppets and
exactly. Yeah. And even like stop motion animation, I know that's going off of being tracked. That looked pretty cool because it's still real things moving. Whereas CGI animation, I love video games, but I like to see it real, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm jumping on the next host bandwagon here, but I just love that picture. That's of, I love Cobra Kai, by the way. I think it's a great series. Seen it, and you can see there Martin Cove or Kreese just in the background there. What a great actor he is.
He's fantastic, and I need to get back on my Cobra Kai watch. I just saw the first season, but life happens. You know, I have kids, I'm in the military, I get deployed. So there's some shows where I will start, and I just didn't get back to because life happens where I'm like, it's back to the queue again. So I think what I'm going to do with Cobra Kai when it's officially done, I'm at the point now where I'm so far behind.
Yeah,
I'll just wait till the last season comes out, and then I'll just bid. I did that for Better Call Saul. There's an example where I got behind on it. By the time the third season came, I was like, okay, I haven't started it yet. I'll just wait till it's done. And now my wife and I binged it and finished it in a month. So it's like,
great, wasn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it.
I like the black and white episodes, Ryan. Is that about you? I thought they were so, they are the most captivating for me. The future, the future.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, the black and white are a few. I think you can kind of pick up on it. They are future fans, but yeah. As always, Adrian, absolute pleasure. I suspect we'll have you on again, if not for season 3, depending on my rotation. You'll be on again. You're one of my, you want to guest host on my show? Just tell me how great I am and you'll be a guest host. So, again, plug your podcast.
Oh, thanks again, Ryan. Had a really good time today. Yeah. So it's Arcade Attack. It's a retro gaming podcast. We cover retro games, we do interviews, even retro game movies if you're into that kind of stuff. We've done the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighters and so forth, so yeah, check it out if you can. And thank you so much, Ryan.
Well, with that, the episode's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.